And we think moms are superheroes here at Waller Baptist. In fact, I was looking at a quote from an interesting person in 2017. DC Entertainment came out with the movie Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. They picked to play Wonder Woman a former Miss Israeli, Gal Gadot. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen the movie, but she does an incredible job of playing Wonder Woman. But the interesting thing about Gal is that in that first shooting of Wonder Woman, they went through all the action scenes. They filmed the whole movie, but all of a sudden they saw they needed some extra shots. So way after production, the original production was over, they had to call Gal back in to do some extra shots. The problem was, at this point, she was 5 months pregnant. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen that Wonder Woman suit, but you can't hide 5 months pregnant in a Wonder Woman suit. So what they did is they took her Wonder Woman suit and sewed in a green screen over her pregnant belly, and then they superimposed her old figure over the front of that. I just said, isn't that crazy? But Gal Gadot, you know, interesting thing is she's come out a couple of times, seeing how she became a mother during that time. And she's had a couple of quotes as people have asked her about her. She said this. She said, motherhood is a superpower. Motherhood is a superpower. In fact, she said, all mothers are Wonder Women. All mothers are Wonder Women. They asked her, they said, what do your kids think about you being Wonder Woman? She looked at him, she said, yeah, my kids, they go, great, Mom, sure, you're Wonder Woman. Now, where's our lunch? That's kind of, but she also said that she would much rather be a mom than ever to play one single part in any movie. And I think that's that beautiful thought that we're here today of just the incredible wonder it is to be a mom. In fact, just to kind of remind you how wonderful it is that moms get to be moms, for every mom here today, we have a rose or two in back. We might even have some extra roses, but I'm going to make sure you get a flower as you're leaving, and then I wanted to give you a candy. I wanted to give you a candy, but I wanted to make sure it kind of tied in what we did. So I found that Cadbury has a candy bar. I'd never heard of it before, but it's called the Wonder Bar. So every mom is going to get a rose and a Wonder Bar to remember how wonderful Waller Baptist thinks you are and how wonderful you are in your father's eyes. So as you're leaving, make sure you get one of those. But today, what I want to do is I want to take that thought of wonder and I want to say, how can we apply that into our lives? And I know that we've got dads here and grandparents here, and we've got aunts and uncles here and nephews and nieces. So I kind of wanted to go a little bit broader than just with moms. But this applies to moms, and it applies to kids, and it applies to dads and grandparents. And so the name of the sermon today is Wonderful Words of Life. Wonderful Words of Life. Each one of us have the ability to sow words into people's lives. Each one of us has the ability as a parent to sow words into our children's life, to sow ideas, to sow thoughts. Let me show you this scripture. Proverbs 13:2 says, from the fruit of the mouth comes good things. The picture here is almost like, you know, from the fruit of your mouth, you're planting a fruit seed in everybody's life around you as you speak good things into their hearts. Deuteronomy thought it was so important. The writer of Deuteronomy thought it was so important that it says this in Deuteronomy 6:7. Impress them on your children. Your thoughts about God, your thoughts about who they are in God. Impress those on your children. And they said, how often should you do it? They said, well, here's a good way. How often should I impress upon my children how wonderful they are to God, how important they are to God? How often should I do that? Well, Deuteronomy says this. He said, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So basically it's saying when you get up in the morning, tell your kids about how awesome God is and how wonderful God made them. When you eat breakfast or lunch or dinner, that's a great time, right? A great time to tell them how much God loves you. Hey, when you're going to the store or taking them to school as you're walking along that path, great time to tell your kids how wonderful they are in God's eyes and how unique and special they are, how much God loves you. Hey, when they wake up in the morning and then when they go to bed at night, perfect time. As a parent, we're just told over and over again to pour those positive words into our kids' lives. And kids, you can pour those words back into your parents. Wouldn't it be an incredible thing to be such an encouraging family, to pour into each other? You know, as I was thinking about how dynamic of an effect you can have on your kids just by the words you say, you know, what came to mind was that book that came out. It was probably about 10 years ago. It was called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Have you ever seen that book before? All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. The writer, Robert Fulghum, sold 7 million copies of this book, and what he did was he said, those basic things I learned as a kid, he said, I can look and I've learned how to apply them all through my life. Here's was his list of what he learned in kindergarten. Number one, share everything. Number two, play fair. Number three, don't hit people. That's a good one, right? Number four, put things back where you found them. Number five, clean up your own mess. Clean up your own mess. Why are you looking at me that way, Rebecca? Never mind. Number seven, say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Number eight, wash your hands before you eat. That's a good rule. Number nine, flush. Number 10, warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Amen. Number 11, live a balanced life. Learn some, drink some, draw some, paint some, sing some, dance some, play some, and work some every day of your life. Number 12, take a nap. Number 13, when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Number 14, be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up and nobody really knows how or why, but we are all like that. Number 15, goldfish and hamster and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die and so do we. And 16, and then remember the Dick and Jane books where the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, was just look. Look and see what's going on around you. It's those powerful things as a kindergartner. And as you think about, you know, just that list, it is kind of funny, but it is how you can extrapolate those little things into your life as you move forward and saying, you know, when we're out in a dangerous situation like traffic, grab somebody's hand because we need to face it together. When we're living our life and it feels like we're giving too much of our time to work, well, you know, we need to slow down and say, what about our family? What about our friends? And we need to have that balanced life. You know, we need to always be kind of going back to what did we learn as kids. But I want to take it one step farther. And I want to say, what are we as Christians supposed to be teaching our kids? Mom, what are some of those wonderful words of life? In fact, it brings me back to that old hymn, The Wonderful Words of Life. It says, sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. What are the wonderful words of life that our kids need to hear? I mean, because it's so important that we're pouring in that understanding of relationships. I mean, Jesus boiled down our entire life to two phrases, right? Love God with all your heart and love others as yourself. And are we teaching our kids that? I think God created families so that godly parents can plant those godly seeds, those godly wonderful words of how to live this life into their children. So this morning, we just wanted to just real quickly go through four phrases of things you can plant in your kid's life. Phrase number one is really simple. In fact, you can guess what it is. I love you. I love you. Are you saying that to your kids every day? We know it's important, right? Because of what Chris had said earlier, you know, when we were singing Good, Good Father, you know, Chris brought up that fact that, you know, God's our example. You know, Jesus is our example. He is a good, good Father. And if you look in the scriptures, 310 times God tells his people how much he loves them. How much he loves them. You know, I put down here a verse, Jeremiah 31:5. It's, oh no, I'm sorry. The Psalms 17, oh, where am I? Actually, I put the wrong verse there. But for the love verse, Psalms, there it is, 86:5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call upon you. And then in Jeremiah 31:5, let me pull that one up for you. Jeremiah 31:5 says this. It says, it's actually 31:3. Here we go. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I mean, here over and over again, God tells us, I have an everlasting love for you. And he doesn't just say it once. In fact, you know, we know that God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Over and over again, God says to us, I love you. Why is it important to tell our kids that we love them? You know, maybe you came from a family where your father or your mother didn't express that to you. Maybe, you know, I've heard so many people at different funerals say, I never heard my mom or I never heard my dad say, I love you. And you know, so many times we know it. We know that they love us. But I wrote down a guy named Joshua Becker. He's a Christian family counselor. And he says this. He said, here's 14 reasons why you need to say, I love you, and have your kids hear it. It gives them someone to trust when they know that you love them. It tells them they are valuable. It lets them know someone is on their side. It gives them courage. It provides a safe environment to grow. It allows them to make mistakes. It is good for correction. It produces joy. It gives hope. It takes away fear. Telling a kid you love them makes them part of something bigger than themselves. And it gives them the confidence they need in the world. It provides motivation to love others. And it plants a seed that will always be there. Have you told your kids today, I don't care how old they are, have you told your kids today those simple phrase, I love you? I know when Rebecca and I were raising our girls, a book came out and it said, I love you to the moon. And I heard that phrase over and over again in our house. I love you to the moon. You know, yes. Oh, thanks, Mom. That gives me the ability to move forward with this sermon. But do you have those phrases? Do you have those little sayings that I love you? You know, there was a book, I love you a lot. You know, I love you a little, I love you a lot book. Do you make sure that your kids know? I mean, I still call my girls from time to time. My ones are out in college. You know, for no reason except just to say, I love you. I love you. Because I don't care what age they are. Thanks, Mom, again. they need to hear that. I did a funeral this week for a family in the church. name was Frank Werner. I met with his family, and as I was just getting stories about his life, his daughter said, "Well, Dad would always do this one thing." And I said, "Well, what's that one thing that Dad would always do?" She said, "Well, he would come up for you to you, and he would say, 'Here's a kiss for your heart,' and he would go, 'Mwah.' And he said, 'And a hug for your soul,' and he would go, 'Auga.'" And she said, "You know, as a kid, that wasn't too bad. But," she said, "when you become a teenager and your dad comes up to you and goes, 'Here's a kiss for your heart, mwah, and a hug for your soul, ooga,' she said, "it was a little bit embarrassing." And she said, "and then that wasn't it." She said, "after he would do the mwah, he would wait and just stare at you until you said mwah back." And same thing with a ooga. She said, I tell you, I was sitting in college one day and Dad called me and was talking to me on the phone. And she said, I had all my friends around. And all of a sudden, right there at the end of the conversation, he said, and she knew it was coming, "Here's a kiss for your heart, mwah." And then silence on the phone. She looked at her friend and said, "Mwah." And she said, "maybe you won't say the other. And a hug for your soul, ooga, ooga." But as we were sitting there just talking about her dad, she said, "Oh, how much I wish I could hear him say that one more time." Right? Because to her, that was his way of letting her know, "I love you." Make sure today on Mother's Day, make sure every day you're using this powerful, wonderful word of life, "I love you." Number two, the second phrase that you need to incorporate into your family, into your friends, everywhere, is "I hear you." I hear you. Psalm 17:6-7, David, who at this time wasn't, but was going to be king. And we see some verses very similar to it, even after he becomes king. Here's what he says. He said, "I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me. Hear my prayer. Show me the wonders," there we go again with wonders, "wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes." David said, "God, I know you love me, but do you hear me? Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you listening? Do you care enough that you listen?" There's a beautiful psalm, I think it's in chapter 7, and it's a picture of God sitting on his throne in heaven. You know, God sits on his throne in heaven. He's the king of the universe. He makes sure everything is going just like it's supposed to. The king of the universe. But then it says that he looks down and sees what we're doing. Isn't that a beautiful image of God saying, "I'm ruling the universe, but I'm so interested in you. I love you. I want to hear you." There was an old saying, right? Kids should be seen and not... Oh, I don't like that. I mean, I get it. I get it. Kids are loud. You know, you got the adult table, the kids table. I get it. But what are we saying to our kids when we say, "What you have to say is not important? You should just sit there and be quiet. Don't say anything." It crushes you. As a parent, you should be ready. Now, I know there's time where the kid's got to be quiet, right? The kid's got to be quiet. But you need to make up with it 3 or 4 or 5 times over of just sitting there and listening and engaging with your kids. Listen, saying your input is valuable. Let me ask you this, parents. What kind of job do you want your kids to have when they leave your house, when they get out into the world? You know, do you want them to be managers of places? Do you want them to be police officers, principals, leaders in the community? You know, to set that up for kids, they have to believe that they have something to say that can be helpful to other people. They've got to believe that. And if we're just ignoring our kids, I don't want to even listen. I don't want to listen to you right now. What's that setting them up to? That what I have to say is not important and it's not helpful. Well, the biggest thing, it's not just listening. It's actually hearing. And what keeps us from hearing? That little phone. Right? How often does our kid come up to tell us something and we never even look up? We just say, uh-huh, yeah, okay. My kids know I do it. I do it all the time. I'm listening with one ear and I'm looking here. But what does that say to a kid? When you're looking at your phone, it says you're not really engaging. I mean, if you and I had a conversation after church and you were telling me something that you wanted me to pray for, and I just sat there and looked at my phone while you were doing it, you wouldn't feel heard. How important is it for us to put that into our kids' life? I hear you. Not just talking, but I'm listening. I'm putting my phone down. Listen, active listening, real quick. Eye contact, right? Eye contact. It tells someone that you're listening. A concentration. Yeah, it might be a long story. It might be a story that you already know the ending to. And you might be able to jump ahead and go, I know where this is going. But if you would just say, no, I'm going to concentrate, not just on what they're saying, but how they're saying it, how it makes them feel. Maybe even take a second and ask some questions about it. Oh, wouldn't that be something incredible to pour into our kids? And God pours it into us. He says, I want to hear you. How many verses are there on prayer where God says, bring it to me, bring it to me, bring it to me? Are we telling our kids that? Are we saying, tell me more? Isn't that a great phrase? Tell me more. Maybe this week when you're dealing, and like I said, it's not just kids, it's people in your life, right? Instead of playing with the phone and just getting through whatever they tell you, what if you just said, I'm going to intentionally, when someone talks to me this week, see if I can put that phrase in there. Tell me more. It's so important what you're saying. I want to hear more about that. We're putting a legacy into our kids' life, because as we give that to our kids, then they can pass it down to their kids and their kids. This beautiful thought of I hear you. Okay, that's two. I love you, I hear you. Number three is I believe in you. I believe in you. The scripture here is Matthew 16, 17 through 18. Man, I just love this. This is Jesus. And Jesus replied, he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are now Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's Matthew 16, 17 through 18. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe? And he was there at creation. He has come down in human form, and he is sitting there looking you in your eye and going, listen, I'm not just going to listen to you. I'm not just going to tell you I love you, but I am going to speak what I see in you. And you may not be there yet. And you might not have accomplished rottenness yet. You might not be rocky yet. But let me pour into you the fact that I believe that you've got something inside you, something of great worth inside you. And it's so worthy that I'm going to pour into you. I believe you. I'm going to start calling you Peter now. I'm going to start calling you Rock, and I'm going to keep on calling it until you live up to it, right? And we see it again after Jesus dies, and after Peter has denied him three times. God gets him in front of a fire in the Sea of Galilee after he's risen from the dead, and just looks him in the eyes again, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. And he said, then you need to feed my sheep. That was him saying, you need to leave my church. I'm going to head out of here. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to got the Holy Spirit coming. But Peter, I need you to do something. And I want you to know, even though you failed me three times, deny me, three times, I'm going to tell you, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. Feed my sheep. Guys, are you pouring that into your kids? Are you looking at them and say, what kind of treasure does my kid have inside them? Maybe it's closed up in a treasure chest. Maybe you got to open it up a little bit, get a flashlight in there. But as soon as you see it, you need to start putting words of affirmation, because one day your kid's going to come to you and they're going to say, I can't do anything right. And as a mom and as a dad and as a grandparent, you need to look them in the eye and start just going down the laundry list of what they can do right. Oh, boy, you're good at this, and you're good at this, and you're good at this, and you're good at this. Because here's what we know. One bad comment can take your eyes off like 10 great comments. And so you've got to get in there, and when those bad comments come, you just need to pour into your kids. Listen, I believe in you. I believe in you. Just like Jesus boosted up Simon, you need to boost up your kids. I remember when I was a teenager, we'd got back from summer camp, and I'd felt God calling me into the ministry, and we would do something back then. I don't know if you did, maybe in some of y'all's church, y'all should have Youth Sunday at your church. You ever done that where like you actually get a teenager to preach that day, and you got a teenager leading the music, and you got teenagers taking up offering. The whole day is about Youth Sunday, and I got picked to preach. Now I'm 17, and I like to talk, don't get me wrong, but I never have preached before. And I remember getting up in front of that church and just shaking in my boots, and you know, I couldn't tell you what I preached on, but what I can tell you is how many people came up to me that day and said, Blake, you need to think about doing this for the rest of your life. I don't think they saw a great orator or a great preacher. What they saw was a little seed of something that they say, if we can pour some belief on that, something can grow out of that. And listen, I'm not bragging, but I've shared the Lord from stage with thousands of people since then, thousands. And I just think, if they hadn't that day, if I just went and sat down and nobody ever came up and said, hey, I see something in you, would I've gone back to, I can't do anything right? Would I have never shared Jesus one time? I don't know. I know this. You know, sometimes I walk around here, and I don't even think about it. I guess because I have daughters. But I walk around the church sometime, and I see a little girl, a little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old girl. And a lot of times I don't remember their name. I'm going to go ahead and confess it. But, you know, I'll look down to me because either I don't remember their name or just because it comes out. I'll say, well, how are you today? Beautiful. How are you today? Beautiful. And I never really thought about it till a mom came up to me one time and she said, my daughter just loves to see you on Sunday morning. Oh, I said, well, I love to see her too. And she said, the reason she loves to see you on Sunday morning is because you call her beautiful. And I said, wow, I never knew the impact. Just that word. I see something in you you might not see in yourself. I believe in you. What if we said something like, you're beautiful to people we see? What if we said this? What if we said, you are a winner to our kids? You know, I'm not talking about that everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy thing. I'm just talking about put that spirit in our kids that you're not going to win every time, but you're not a loser. You are a winner. How powerful could that be? What if we just did that here in the church? Let's try that. Can you just turn to the person beside you and say, let's try, I believe in you. Just turn to the person beside you and say, I believe in you. Yeah, turn to the other person that you didn't like as much this time and say, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Or turn to your favorite one and say, you are a winner. You see how instantly that brings smiles to our faces and joy to our faces? What if we were that kind of encouragement encouraging church. What if every Sunday you came here and someone said, man, you're so important. I see what God is doing in your life. You know, Chris, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? Because, Chris, I see what God's doing in your life. I see what you did up here this morning. Wasn't the music wonderful? Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Hiro, I see what God's doing in your life, and I believe in what he's doing over there, man. I see what you've got here. Good job. It's not that hard. Three things we got so far. Tell your kids every day you love them. Tell your kids every day, hey, I want to hear you. I want to hear what's going on in your life. Talk to me. Tell your kids every day, I believe in you. And then the final one is I prayed for you. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If every day you looked at your kid and said, I just want you to know, I prayed for you today. Hey, you know, we can see where Jesus said, man, I'm praying for the disciples. That was over and over again. I love the what Paul said to the Thessalonica church. Paul said, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. And then he tells them how he prays for them. He said, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. It's easy sometimes to say, hey, I'm praying for you. But Paul said, no, I'm going to tell you specifically how I'm praying for you. I'm praying that our God will make you worthy of his calling, that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by your faith. We pray that this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Second Thessalonians. Boy, I can say that three times fast. Second Thessalonians 1:11-12. Listen, are you telling your kids that you're praying for them? Are you praying for them? I mean, it can be as simple as that nighttime prayer. We used to do that all the time. You know, the girls would be going to bed, and I would just go in there and say, let's pray. And they'd hear their daddy praying for them. You know, since then, I go into kind of spells where I want my girls to know I'm praying for them. I even bought a book. It was 40 Prayers for Your Daughters. And every morning I would get up for 40 days straight and I would read this prayer. And then I would type out a little thing to all my daughters and texted it to them. Now, I don't know if they ever opened the text or look at it. But what I do know is they knew for sure that Dad was praying for them that day. Are you praying for your kids? Are you telling them what you're praying for? How would your kid feel if they knew as they were walking out the door, school's going to be hard? Can I tell you, kids got it hard this day? Whatever stress you felt going into elementary school, junior high, high school, multiply it by 10. That's what your kids are facing today. They're facing a battlefield every time they walk into a school. And they need you to give them a prayer covering. And they need to know that's happening. I heard one comedian say one time, he said, I must really matter because Dad and God apparently talk about me all the time. But I want my girls to know that too, that me and God talk about y'all all the time. You need to tell your kids, me and God are talking about you. I'm praying for you. You know, you need to ask them, what can I pray for? And then do that hearing thing, do that listening thing. One of my favorite ones is one mom said, listen, I pray for my kids, but she said, one of the things I pray every day is if my kids do anything wrong, that they will get caught. And I said, you know, that's a pretty good prayer. And she gave a story. She said, one day my son walked in and said, you've been praying that prayer again. And she said, well, why is that? He said, well, me and my friend, we decided we would make what we were calling mud bombs. And he said, we hid out behind this tree, and his cars were coming. We were just flinging these mud bombs. Yeah, until one hit the principal's car. Now I've got, 3 days of detention for throwing the mud bomb. And his mom just smiled. She said, yep, I was just praying you would get caught. Now it's kind of silly to pray it, but it's not. Because if they don't get caught, it could grow and grow and grow. If you do something wrong, every kid's going to do something wrong, right? But if they get caught, they learn from it. And they can make better, wiser choices in the future. So pray for your kids. Pray for health for your kids, for safety for your kids, for wisdom that they'll show the love of God to people in their surrounding area. Pray that they get caught the first time they do anything wrong. Pray for your kids. I want to finish today with just this quick story about a lady in 1669. Her name was Suzanne. She was 25th out of 25 kids. 25th out of 25 kids. Anybody here from a big family? 25th out of 25 kids. She married an Anglican pastor it's probably about 1680. She married him. And she had 17 kids. 17 kids. You know, back then, there was somebody at my first church that was from a huge family. And he was a hard worker, too. And I said, "Why are you such a hard worker?" He said, "Because I came from a big family." I said, "What's that mean?" He said, "Well, I always tried to be the last one in every night." He said, "I wanted to work hard so I could be the last one in." I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you get to sleep at the top of the pile." And he said, "And then the next morning you're the first one out, so you get the shoes for the day." And I said, "You know, with a big family, yeah, sometimes you share and you grow and you learn." But she came from a solid, solid big family where she knew that her mom loved her, where her mom poured into her. So she poured in to her 17 kids. They weren't perfect. She told them every day about how much she loved them, how much God loves them, and what God had, the potential they had. All those things we're talking about. They weren't perfect. Two times her house burned down because of something her kids did. But every one of her kids, the 17 of them, as they went out into life, they were what you call high-achieving children. Doctors, lawyers, leaders in the community. These 17 kids out of this house were loved, these words of wisdom spoken into their life. And two of them really became famous and changed the world. Her name was Suzanne Wesley, and her son Charles Wesley and John Wesley. John was a pastor, rode over 250,000 miles preaching the gospel of Christ. Someone once estimated that he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ 40,000 times. That would mean he would be doing it three times a day, every day, for his entire life, to preach that many sermons on the gospel of Christ. His other brother, Charles, wrote hymns, famous hymns. Have y'all ever heard the hymn, Hark the Herald Angel Sings? Yeah, that's a Charles Wesley one. But in conclusion today, one of my favorites was, "Oh, a Thousand Tongues Sing." He wrote a hymn on the power of the tongue. Isn't that amazing? He had his mom pouring into him, saying those words to him, getting him to where he was ready to go out in the world. And it said, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glory of my God and King, the triumph of His grace." Guys, as we come to our conclusion today, and as the band comes on back up, I just want to tell you how powerful words are. And today, be an overflow of these words that in this song of how much God loves you. Let those words spill out of your mouth and onto others. I think here on Mother's Day, it would be great to read the rest of the song. "Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He, Jesus, breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." Listen, the greatest thing on Mother's Day, if you don't know the love of Jesus Christ today, if you've never had the words of your Heavenly Father poured into your life, I would love to tell you about the words of this song. How 2,000 years ago a man could die on a cross, take on all your sin onto his shoulder, pay the price, and put his righteousness back on you. It's called grace. And that's the only way that we connect with grace. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that He rose from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. If during this time of reflection you want to come down and ask me about Jesus, I'd love to tell you. If there's something I need to pray for you about, it'll be open to come down and pray with me. Anything that God lays on your heart as we sing.